What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger, part of the BLEAV Network, and I am joined by the members of the King's Court. First, we've got, with her Pikachu headphones, as always, Chelsea. Chelsea, how are you doing?
So sleepy.
Chelsea has been recovering from COVID, recovering from grayscale.
Grayscale, and, there we go.
Yeah. And she's making her way out of it. So, and then also, you heard another voice in the background there. We've got Alex returning to King's Landing through the secret bowels of the castle. Alex, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, man. Mayor Fleabottom right here for you.
Very nice, man. Well, hey, as I alluded to with, you know, all the references, we're talking House of the Dragon, episode 4 of this series, aired last night on HBO and HBO Max. And is it episode 5? It is 4.
Is it really?
Chelsea, go to sleep. Yeah. Go home. You're drunk. Go home. You're sleepy.
Is that you banging against the wall?
Yeah, I accidentally hit my elbow on the wall. Hush.
Stop it.
All right. So, this episode was, it was interesting. You know, as I kind of covered in the last episode, you know, some of the things that I love about Game of Thrones, like, you know, there's a lot of different qualities that people come back to like these shows for, but I love like the action, the violence, the dragons. And this show, or this episode, was very much lacking all of that. So yeah. I was kind of taken out of it a little bit. You know, I still enjoyed the episode for what it was. You know, it was good television, but you know, it just wasn't the stuff that, you know, I enjoy thoroughly. So I'm gonna kick it to you guys. You know, me and Chelsea was kind of talking about it before the podcast, and you know, Alex, I also mentioned to you, but how did you feel about this episode, like, overall? I'm not asking you to give it a ranking, you know, just like the change of pace from basically everything we've seen this season so far.
I mean, I thought it was a little boring. I thought it was a little bit kind of like long-winded. But at the same time, I think it did set up what I think episode 5 is going to be pretty pivotal to the season. And it seems like episode 4 kind of sets everything into motion that's going to happen in episode 5, because I believe episode 5 is the last episode where Millie Acock and who plays Allison? I forgot who plays Allison. But I think there's
something.
Yeah, so I think they're younger versions. That's the last episode where they're going to appear on, you know, unless they do some flashbacks and things like that. But then after that, the older versions of them take over for the rest of the season. So, I think it sets up a lot. I think they did a good job of, you know, showing the progression of Viserys as a weakening king. And I think they showed, you know, that Daemon is there to mess things up. You know, he's there to break a couple of eggs to make scrambled eggs. So
I like it. I like it. Break the eggs and make them scrambled. I mean, I obviously, and you know, we're going to talk about Viserys in a little bit like that, of the things that I have like thoughts and opinions on, like Viserys, like very much Viserys. I don't really feel, I don't really have a lot of feelings for what happened with Daemon or Rhaenyra. But Chelsea, let's hear from you. How did you feel about this episode? And I guess the departure of the norm that has been the rest of the season.
I mean, I enjoy, personally, I like the episodes that are full of things that you have to like really listen to and pick up on more. I mean, I love a battle scene, but like these kind of episodes are the ones that you look back on and you're like, oh, okay, I see the foreshadowing now. Like, I see how like these episodes are pivotal. And if you like overlook them, then you miss important details. And there's a lot of important details, especially in context of like the actual book and the direction that everything is going. So I enjoyed it. And in spite of all the weirdness, because it's weird to us, incest and these age gap relationships, it's all weird and terrible. It's not to them. And so you just have to look at it from that perspective of like, this is a perfectly normal and acceptable, social aspect for like, it's not, you know what I mean? So you just have to think of it from that perspective. Otherwise, it does take you out of the story if you're just like, oh, I could not imagine banging my uncle, because you shouldn't imagine banging your uncle.
Yeah,
There you go.
for and for context, apparently, I went. I was listening to the Talk the Thrones podcast on Ringiverse, and Mallory Rubin, she's like a Game of Thrones historian, like she knows like all about all like Game of Thrones. But she was talking about how Jaehaerys, the king that chose Viserys to be his heir, was married to his sister, and they actually had like basically like a meeting, like like a religious battle with the keepers of the sept, the High Septon. And basically it came down to the rule that was passed was, hey, incest is bad unless you're Targaryen. Like, we
Well,
frown
not
upon
only that,
incest
but
unless
they
you're
made a
Targaryen.
deal with the Sept that the Targaryens could incestually marry each other and in return allowed the Seven to be like the religion in King's Landing. Like that's sort of what introduced that religion to, because the Targaryens aren't religious. They don't, yeah, he's crying. Yeah, but they don't, I think we've said this before. They don't practice any type of religion, but that was the deal they made with the church was, yeah, okay, we'll allow you to be like the main religion here if you just like turn your eye to our incest stuff going on. Everyone else has disappeared and is muted.
I'm back, and we're back. No. So no, I was hearing everything. Like, my daughter just got back from dance.
You're fine.
No, I was hearing everything you're saying. And one of the important things in this episode that I think it's a little bit muted based off of what you just said is the fact that Allison is a Hightower, and in the basically the region that the Hightower is kind of cover, there's the Grand Septon, the Grand, the you know they're very faithful to the Seven. And so whenever she was talking to Rhaenyra, and she was like, you and your uncle, that's disgusting. That's an actual thing when it comes to the Hightowers, because they're part of the they're very much into the faith, the Seven. And to them, yes, incest is disgusting. As opposed to the Targaryens, where it's normal. They want to keep that bloodline pure. They want to keep the blood of the dragon within the Targaryens, within the Valyrians, within the all those all those families from Essos. And so, yeah, and so, you know, it was something that I think was very important to the episode, but something that not many people will catch because, you know, they're not necessarily in tune with the books, and the show doesn't make a big deal about it.
Yeah, and I didn't even feel like with Otto telling Viserys, obviously he had ulterior motives. That's the word I was looking for. He had ulterior motives, but Viserys really wasn't even like, oh, my brother is messing around with my daughter. That's gross. He was really more concerned about Rhaenyra's maidenhood being intact, and which, you know, how that would appear and how that would affect her chances of marrying someone else that he would prefer for her to marry. But like, if he felt like, I think if he felt like Daemon also didn't have ulterior motives in messing around with Rhaenyra, he would just let them get married. But he's not gonna let Daemon marry her, even though he offers to, because he sees that Daemon is just trying to get under his skin and is also indirectly trying to find his way back to being there, which he's not. And he was then banished again for the second time from King's Landing.
No, yeah, definitely. It was a good setup. It was a good setup episode. Like I said, it was a little bit boring, but the thing is, you know, those setup episodes are sometimes going to be boring, because, you know, they're setting up the big time action that's going to happen, you know, later in the season. So it was a lot of information, and it was good to see I don't know if evolution is the correct word for Alicent, but it was good to see, like, you know, it ain't all it's cracked up to be queen, you know, in the realm if you're a woman. It ain't, you know, it basically, you know, it keeps the focus on the fact that being a woman, whether in this fantasy, you know, fantasy show, or whether it was like in medieval times, but being a woman was very difficult because, you know, as Emma said, the childbed is your battlefield. And, you know, a lot of women weren't necessarily allowed to be warriors. There wasn't a lot of Brienne of Tarth, you know, in during this time, or in these, you know, in this type of landscape. And so Rhaenyra, I think she's like the type that's like, look, you know, the hell with like bearing children and, you know, and being a maiden in a house. I want to, you know, she basically wants to be the female version of Daemon. And so, like, what they, I think this episode did a very good job of like showing that, of showing the fact that maybe even Alicent is a little bit jealous of the freedom that Rhaenyra gets to live with, you know, as far as not necessarily being tied down to a guy and being tied down, especially being tied down to like a high ranking guy, like the king or anything like that. You know, it's like she said, she was like, you know, I'm just the queen. I have nobody to talk to. I'm literally just the queen, you know. And so it's her and popping out children and having bad sex, and you know. So yeah, I think that part of the episode, I was very impressed with that part of the episode. The rest of the part of the episode was a little bit, you know, a little bit like it was hard to get past. And I'm not talking about the segment. I'm just saying like it was a very kind of like a slow pace, kind of like not a lot of action per se. I mean, unless you want to call that action. But it was just, you know, a ton of
He was a guy
non-action.
shooting fire out of his hands. That's action.
I mean, there's a guy shooting. There was guys shooting a lot of things in that episode.
What you didn't know is that was Donny Blaze. He actually came through the Green
Yeah.
Ring. I will say, you know, Alex, I was talking to Dolan, you know, Stephen Dolan. He's our co-host on our other podcast, Top Thunder, and you know, he was
I know
saying
who
that.
Dylan is too.
Okay, sorry. I was just saying because he's our co-host, but he was saying that he's been listening to, or he's finally caught up with House of Dragons, so he's been listening to our episodes, and he was saying that, you know, a thing that he's really missing in the show, and I think it's pretty common amongst a lot of critics, is like, you know, there hasn't been a lot of levity in terms of like, you know, Tyrion was that character for House of the Dragon. Like, and I mean, and not just him, like all the characters around him, like Bronn and Podrick, like Jaime was funny.
Very true, very true.
You had freaking, oh, I had somebody earlier. Freaking, Tormund Giantsbane, like,
Yeah, he came along later.
yeah, I'm saying, like, you had all these people that, like, provided levity, throughout, like, the crazy, like, serious stakes, and, up until this episode, but you haven't seen much of that. Now, I will say in this episode, despite how weird it was, Rhaenyra kind of got in her bag a little bit with, just comedy. Like, I genuinely laughed a few times at Rhaenyra, like in the at Harrenhal, whenever she was, like, meeting suitors, and she stopped the old dude and was like, I don't even remember how she did it, but, like, she basically, just put him in her place, or put him in his place, and was like, yeah, I'm not marrying this old dude. And then she's like, next.
I think she basically said, do you consider my grandmother to be old? And he was like, basically, yeah. She was like, yeah, okay, that's the answer right there. So you can go on.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was like,
She, I think she
it was
said,
so long ago, I
did you
can't
find
even
her
remember.
beautiful?
Yeah, he was like, it was so long ago, I can't even really remember. And she's like, exactly.
Exactly.
And then she dismissed him, and then it was a kid, and she's like, oh, this is
A
next.
child.
So yeah, and then,
Badass kid, though.
yeah,
Yeah.
dude took down, was that a Lannister that he killed?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just saw the gold
Don't remember.
Lannister, but it would have made it more sweet if it was a Lannister. But then, and then after, all the weird stuff happened with Daemon, and she was feeling some type of way when she got back in King's Landing, like, her little game she was playing with Crispin Cole, like, I don't know. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, even before all the weird stuff with Damon happens, you see Alicent and Rhaenyra almost become friends for a second again. They come back together and have a moment of reconciliation, which I didn't see coming, but it was kind of like they met each other in the middle and they were like, oh, okay. We've spent all this time being upset and we're both so lonely, et cetera, et cetera. And then as the episode goes on, it slowly unravels back into this place of uncomfortability where Alicent has to be the queen and has to ask Rhaenyra obviously uncomfortable questions. And then, they're kind of right back where they started again. But you also get to see inside of like what's going on with Alicent and the king. And all of that almost made me more uncomfortable than everything else because you feel for her. You feel like, I know, like you see her have like true regard for the king. Like she wanted bathe him and care for his wounds gently, and like she does obviously love him, but then she's like, okay, I'm gonna go to bed, and he's like, no, bring her to me, and that is just really unfortunate and really true for the time again, where she couldn't say no, she couldn't not go in there, she couldn't not do what the king expects her to do, and then she just has to lie there and take it. And then, of course, it's juxtaposed with Rhaenyra having all kinds of fun and living her best life. And yeah, so you really end up at the end of the episode feeling bad for Alicent, and you kind of see the direction that her character is going. And I'm assuming that they're wanting us to feel bad for her because she's going to turn into a Cersei level prick really soon.
Foreshadowing, going crazy.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. And you kind of look at the whole Damien of this all, because kind of
Who's
going back
Damien?
to Damon, God, Damon, there's either where it shouldn't be, and it confused me.
Well, they are not the same.
But the Damon of it all, where you go back to the second episode, whenever he steals the dragon egg, and it's like, oh, well, I'm about to marry this girl. She's pregnant with my baby. It's customary for Targaryens to, the babies to be with a dragon's egg and, be born at the same time or whatever. And, you get there and you realize, like, when they go to retrieve the egg, that A, he's not married. B, she's not pregnant. So, like, what was your end game? You're just being a prick at this point. And then in this one, it's a little bit more calculated because, he makes the move on Rhaenyra. He doesn't follow through according to after the episode. Like, it doesn't actually happen.
They can't, and that's like in the first episode when he was with Missaria and she was like, what do you need like to help yourself to finish, like you want me to get somebody with blonde hair? And like he clearly is having problems in general because he's, I mean, I don't know. I
Performance
cannot
anxiety.
even presume, but he's clearly struggling with something.
But just the perception, like Allison kind of alludes to, like, Rhaenyra said, I would never do that. And she's like, you shouldn't put yourself in a position where people would think you would do that. And despite Viserys, like, calling out Otto, like, how dare you accuse my daughter of such things? Like, he fully, like, believes it and accepts it and takes action and brings Daemon to the throne room. And, there Daemon's like,
He admits it. He ain't scared.
well, he doesn't deny it. But, like, he
Yeah.
lets him believe what he wants to believe, because, like, they said nothing actually happened in terms of, like, unsullying her or whatever, like, he's so scared about. But when he asks him, Damien, or God, stop calling him Damien.
That is not his name.
Damon doesn't, correct him. He lets him think what he wants to think, and then that's when he makes his play and is like, let me marry her, basically saying, like, because this is the only way that she's gonna find a suitor, with her being unsullied. So it was it,
Why are you saying unsullied?
I don't know. The word kept getting stuck in my head. I know the unsullied is the army and everything.
They are
They used a different word and I
dismembered.
can't think of it.
Okay. Anyway, so after all that's said and done, Rhaenyra goes back and says, hey, Christian, finish the job because Daemon wasn't about it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, it kind of opens the door and, like, pulls back the curtain on, like, what Damon's, like, aspirations are. Like, he, and it's like Viserys said, and, like, as the audience kind of, begins to understand, what Damon's end game was with, all the nonsense that he was pulling, Viserys also realizes, and that's when he's like, it's not about Rhaenyra. You're still after this title. You're still after this throne.
Yeah,
And
but it's
then,
like he doesn't even want it because he wants it. He just wants it because nobody wants him to have it. But I know actually, I know that him and Rhaenyra do have like real affections for each other. And in, in a different universe where he wasn't also making a play at the crown, Viserys would just say, okay. Like if Rhaenyra wasn't the one, the heir, and Aegon was, they'd get married and it wouldn't be a big deal and nobody would think twice about
yeah, I mean, going back to, like, Mallory Rubin, they asked her, they was like comparing, her getting with Damon compared to her getting with Crispin. Like, her getting with Damon is, like, infinitely more accepted than her getting with Crispin, who has, sworn a
Yeah.
pact of, I want to say celibacy, but it's probably the wrong word.
Chastity.
Chastity. There it is. And,
Chastity.
also, like,
Chastity.
has sworn oath to, like, protect the queen or the
Yeah.
princess
So
and
this
everybody in the
goes back to what
Kingsguard.
I
So,
said in last week's episode where there was a rumored relationship between them in the books, and no one really, because it's an unreliable narrator, it was, was it consensual? Was it not? No one really knew the truth. Now we're seeing the truth of what actually happened. And the true events. And at now, because her virtue is being questioned, they're Viserys is pushing and forcing the marriage to Laenor, which we saw coming. But as this plays out, you also see Viserys deliver like an emergency contraceptive for her because she doesn't, or he doesn't believe that, well, he doesn't know if she actually slept with Damon or not. So, like, just to be on the safe side, he wants her to take this. The future story will pan out, or it will play out, or in the books it plays out like she does marry Laenor, she does get pregnant, but it's always kind of presumed that his their children together are not really his.
Yeah.
But the truth of it, we don't know because of the unreliable narrative. And I don't really even know if they'll entertain that story as much because they did introduce this emergency contraceptive, or maybe she keeps boning Crispin. Who knows? We'll see.
The plan T, not the
But
plan B.
the most important thing that we got to get to here is Viserys kicking out
Oh well, yeah, that's actually what I was gonna talk about
Otto.
there after I made my plan T joke. But the real changing of hands, as it were. So, like I was saying, the whole scene with Viserys in the throne room with Damon, and Damon basically, putting all his cards on the table, and in the scene before that, Otto, thinks that. Everything's falling into his lap. Like, this is going to put Damon in a worse light. This is going to put Rhaenyra in a worse light. And he's going to cast them both off as heirs and leading the way for Aemon. Is that his name? It
Aegon,
is Aegon. Okay. Yeah. Leading the way for Aegon to
you're
be
so
named his
bad at the
heir. Listen,
names.
they're all so different. Just leave me alone. I'll get it eventually. Lost my train of thought. But then it backfires because, he does kind of battle in his mind about like how he wants to go about this because, yeah, this is information that's beneficial to him, but he does still very much care about Viserys as a guy that's been serving on his king's court for all these years. And finally, when he serves it to him, it's like that Will Smith scene in Hitch, like that went differently in my
Differently,
head.
yeah. Well, the thing of it all is, this is not an obscure story, or not an out of context story that the hand, I mean, it's within the realms of like a normal thing that the hand might tell the king. But what it boils down to is that in order for Otto to have received this information, that means that he's having Rhaenyra watched. And why is he having Rhaenyra watched?
Yeah.
Because obviously he's trying to catch her doing something. And I think he actually did a pretty good job of not leading on like he was reveling in it. But we know he was because we've seen him conspiring behind closed doors the whole time. And then I think Viserys also puts together he conspired with Alicent and is reveling in it, and he's seeing all of these decisions spiraling and realizing that he's made a grave mistake and he is becoming his own undoing. If he wasn't already aware in that moment, he is hyper aware of what he's done.
Yeah, and the other thing with Otto, like you were saying about like sending spies, and like what's so bad about that is like Rhaenyra alluded to it in her conversation with Alicent, like to question the princess's virtue is like legitimate
Treason.
treason, and so for the hand of the king to basically. Not necessarily questioning the princess's virtue, but like question her enough where he's having her followed is That's treasonous in his eyes. And, despite all of his loyalty that he's shown over the years, the fact of the matter is that, he has an agenda. Like he has, like he's not completely innocent in all this. And that's what he says. He's like, your judgment's clouded. And, what's the hand without judgment? And that leads to the changing hand. But what I thought was
So
interesting is,
who's gonna be hand next?
well, hold on, hold on, hold on. What I thought interesting was, I thought it was funny. Damon, kind of put all the cards on the table. Otto put all the cards on the table, and Rhaenyra put all the cards on the table, and they all kind of made their plays. Rhaenyra is like, "Listen, you gotta get rid of Otto." Otto was like, "Listen, you gotta get rid of Damon." Damon's gone to the Vale. Otto was also trying to get rid of Rhaenyra, but that didn't happen because, as Viserys said, if he was to change his heir once again, there's probably a lot of people that'd be like, cool, he changed it to a guy, and like it always should have been. But a lot of other people's like, this dude's changed his heir like twice in the past however many years. Like he's super wishy-washy, and unstableness, instability, that's the word, man. Words are hard
You're
sometimes.
struggling.
Instability throughout the realm, would start to mount at that point. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, they all just kind of started pointing at each other. And I feel like, as Viserys is starting to weaken, we saw his two fingers were lost. We saw all the sores on his back. He's not getting better. He's only getting worse. He's just starting to dwindle away. He's starting to act more and more like a king. In terms of like making action, because he's not really a guy of action. Like Alex always says, he's a peacetime king. But making action and banishing Daemon once again, and basically firing Otto as the hand of the king, and demanding like Rhaenyra, like we tried it your way. You made a
Now you have to
mockery of
marry
it,
Lenor.
and like now, like you're doing this, and you're not giving me any lip about it.
See, this is what I said last week too about Viserys' long game. Long game, he was aiming for Lenor. And, part of the reason I feel like he ended up sending help to Daemon was to ensure that Lenor made it back because he knew that that was going to be the best fit. For the kingdom, not that her and Lenor would be a good match, but like it was gonna bring the most to the crown. Like they have the most to bring to the table.
Yeah, so it's interesting what all is happening here, because with the looming marriage of Leonor, we didn't talk about earlier, we learned that Corlys had gone back to Driftmark, and Corlys had been in conversation with the was it the King of Braavos? Is that what they said?
I do not know.
It was somebody high ranking of Braavos and marrying their heir. In which joining their two
Well,
houses.
Lena was gonna marry.
Oh, is
He
that
was
it?
he
Okay.
was striking up a different marriage
Yeah,
deal for
that
Lena.
makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, but like combining the houses of Valyrian and the house of, and Braavos, like, the Iron Bank of Braavos is still very much a thing at this point. Like those are like the wealth would just be unimaginable, and like the shift of power would be crazy in favor of Valyrian. And then it would just be the Targaryens kind of on their way out, because everybody in Essos, everybody in the Triarchy hates the Targaryens. And if with the Valyrian were to team up with them, it wouldn't be hot stuff. So this was definitely a political move, and honestly, the move that they our guy Lionel Strong said they should have done in the first place with Viserys. So,
Speaking of Lionel Strong, new hand of the king.
is that your prediction?
Yeah, I don't actually know what happens.
Okay, I was about to say, because you know a lot of information, so I'm like, are you
I
being
do know a
cheeky?
lot, but I don't actually know who becomes hand, so
Well, it's probably better that way, because I can
that's
make
my
a prediction
guess.
then.
There's no other guess.
I
Unless
mean,
he pulls someone out of thin air,
yeah,
so.
Lionel makes the most sense in terms of him being a guy that he leans to for counsel anyways, despite having a hand. So he
And
probably
very
makes sense.
unbiased counsel. He gives actual good advice.
Yeah, he doesn't push his agenda. Like he's like, oh, you want Rhaenyra to marry your son? You flatter me, but no. But just kind of like a wild card, like you're kind of mending that ship with the House Valyrian, maybe bring back Corlys and make him the Hand of the King. Just fully ferment that relationship. It's possible.
I don't know.
I don't think Corlys thinks very much of Viserys, so I don't know if he would even accept. But who knows? It's gonna be crazy. I'm hoping, like I said, this episode is what it was. It wasn't my favorite personally. There were some things that I liked about it, a lot of things I didn't like about it. Not saying it's a bad episode of television, just not my taste. So I'm hoping we can kind of get back to the action, hoping we can get back to the dragons. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. By the way, we lied. Caraxes was definitely in this
I
episode.
thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Caraxes nearly knocks Rhaenyra off the boat.
You're the one that said there wasn't no dragons in this episode.
I was not. That was Alex.
Okay. Well,
I did not say that.
sorry, everybody. We'll correct ourselves. But yeah, we were just about to give our ratings for this episode, Alex. We've kind of covered everything ad nauseum. So kind of give our ratings for this episode, and just anything else you wanted to add that we may not have talked about, or just rehash something that we might have already talked about. It's okay.
Well, considering that I didn't hear anything for the last 15 minutes, did we talk about the possibility of her not drinking the moon tea?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. In the books, the rumor in the books is that she's married to Laenor, but her kids come out with brown hair, and so. Many people call them the strong kids because they think they belong to Harlan Bonebreaker Strong, because she supposedly falls in love with him. So I'm thinking that one of these kids may still come out with brown hair, but it could belong to Sir Criston.
Sir Crispin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the showrunners, they can take liberties. The good thing is that this story is already written. So if you want to, if you want to make, adjustments on the fly, not even necessarily on the fly, just adjustments for the show to make it, maybe spice it up a little bit. This is probably the perfect adjustment to do is to introduce one more, I guess.
Wrinkle.
Yeah, one more wrinkle to this love triangle that maybe is a love square, whatever. But yeah, just one more wrinkle to this whole story.
Yep, and you missed my plan T joke, Alex. Dang, sucks.
Oh, sorry. Pretty sure it was hilarious.
It's all good. What was your rating for this episode?
I'd give it a solid just fifth.
I think I concur there. I think I was leaning thumbs down, but after talking about it and how much deeper it goes and how much actually happens in this episode, that you don't necessarily see happen, just happens in conversations. I'll go with the mid, the fist. We'll go with that. What you got, Chelsea?
I still give it a thumbs up because I like it all.
It's so
I don't
funny, like
dislike any of
it's so
it.
it's so funny. You're so tough on She-Hulk,
Yeah,
but yet like
because the cringe effect is
when
the
it comes to House of
difference.
Dragons, you're like, oh, every episode starts off at a thumbs up, and I'll
It's
just add another
the
thumbs
cringe
if
of
it's a
it
great
all, though.
episode.
With Chelsea, House of Dragon is innocent until proven guilty, and She-Hulk is guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly, yeah.
It's all good though. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's good television. I've enjoyed the season so far. Do we know how many episodes are in the season?
Believe 10.
Is it 10? Okay.
Yeah.
Only 10? Why do they do this to us?
I mean, how many episodes do you
Ten's a
want?
lot.
I don't know.
I mean, these are
How many
hour long
episodes were
episodes.
in like normal season of Game of
You
Thrones? I can't remember.
tend to forget that we only got like six episodes for season eight.
No, that was terrible. But are there normally only 10 episodes?
Think so.
I think it's like
I think like the
12.
first, I think the first five seasons or six seasons, it was like 10 episodes, and then it shrunk down to about seven and then six.
Wish it would just go on forever.
Just never stop. Just, you know,
She
record them
wants
as the
She
shows.
wants it. She wants it to be Days of Our Lives,
Okay, I don't
Housewives
know about all
edition.
that.
All right. Well, that's all of our thoughts on that this episode of The House of the Dragon.
Let's get to the more disappointing stuff.
Wonk.
Listen, I get it.
Listen.
Like, there's like
Listen.
everybody wanted Fantastic Four 100%. First of all, let me just say, like, the first big takeaway of, you know, D23. Heads were rolling on like leakers street. Like all of the like big time like Marvel leakers, half of them deleted their accounts because all these predictions, Fantastic Four, Nova, Okoye series, Wonder Man. I saw somebody say like first look at Secret Wars, like all these things that was like predicted to happen, just like no. Henry Cavill, Jodie Comer, like all these actors and actresses we talked about, like just no, just absolutely did not happen. And yeah, I mean, it's wild time. Like, I live for the leaks. Like, I don't care if it's real or not. Like, just let me speculate. Like, let me have a reaction to it. And if it's like confirmed, awesome. Like, I can like further speculate on it. But like, you know, just I just like. Yeah, I don't know. Letting my brain imagine these people and these roles and these movies and all these things. So that's kind of my like, you know, big takeaway at the beginning in terms of like Fantastic Four.
So I think as I was watching and as the hour grew old and realized that there was nothing going to come out, and Feige basically just came out and said, "Look, we're not going to make any type of big time Fantastic Four announcements." Like, I kind of sat there and I was a little bit disappointed, but then I was like, "You know what? We did this to ourselves." You know, because you know, pardon my French, but you know, at San Diego Comic-Con, I do believe that. And you know, Marvel and Disney, they blew their load there. Like, it was completely like, you know, they gave us everything that they could that was confirmed to a point, because I do think that they noticed that people were starting to kind of jump off the bandwagon with phase four. And so they needed a big bang to kind of get people back, you know, reeled back into it. But I also think that they thought, okay, so we accomplished what we needed to accomplish in San Diego Comic-Con. Let's not just completely blow the entire chamber that we have on D23 a month later. So I do think, you know, they have time on their side. This can definitely be something that they can kind of present, you know, at the next big Comic-Con, whether it's San Diego, whether it's another one. I don't know if there's one in New York. But I do believe like they can kind of hold off a little bit for the phase six stuff. And just kind of wait maybe one more year and see how, you know, Black Panther does, see how Quantumania does, see how the Marvels does. And then from there, hey, if those movies are raking in $1 billion, they probably don't necessarily have to do too much after that. You know, so I think partially it was on us for just setting the expectations way too high and just, you know, being disappointed just based off of our expectations.
Yeah, it is just a, like a wild move though, like in retrospect, just to like to have all that drop at San Diego Comic Con and like, you know, with all that dropping, you're like, okay, if this is happening at San Diego Comic Con, D23, which is, you know, the House of Mouse, like the company
Yeah.
that like Marvel, like they own Marvel, like okay, like they're gonna blow the top off, like in D23, like all these things, like that's what made all these leaks like thought possible. So yeah, I mean it was a little bit of a letdown. I get it. Chelsea, I know your feelings about it. How did you feel about everything announced? Not specifics, just kind of in general.
Well, my biggest thing is that they obviously are hearing the discontent in all the fans. Not everybody is unsatisfied, but like a lot of people are confused with phase four and the direction that it's all going. And I have no doubt that it will all make sense in the end. But right now, it isn't making a lot of sense, and people are kind of like, are these projects flopping? They're not flopping because people are still watching them. But like, at a certain point, you gotta give the people what they want. And I don't think we're getting a lot of much. I don't know. I'm so upset about it all. Like they announced, I just looked this up. They announced the Fantastic Four movie at San Diego Comic-Con in 2019. July 2019 is when they like confirmed that Fantastic Four were coming. It's 2022, and we're not any closer to any information about the movie other than we have a director and we know they're not doing the origin story again. That's a annoying. That's 3 years. That's too long, okay? It's annoying.
I don't even think we know unequivocally they're not doing the origin story again. I think that might have been a leaker that actually said that.
What,
But
the
I mean,
director?
no, a leaker that came out and said that they're not doing the origin story. Because up
Oh,
in.
well, I mean, for that doesn't really even matter, but you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
no,
My
no,
point is,
I get it.
we know nothing. And that's it's kind of like when they waited so long to release the No Way Home trailer, like so long. And it's like obviously we're still excited about it. We're still going to watch it, but like why are you making us wait so long? And then we're getting all these Disney, all the shows, they're popping them out like I don't know, so fast, and they're not putting enough thought into those. I don't know. It feels like their attention, their focus is on quantity over quality of content, and they're not giving us what we want to hear and what we want to see. It's like, how many projects can we bust out instead of,
I mean, it sounds like the common complaint that, with the Disney Plus shows that the MCU may just be spread out too thin,
I
at
think
this
so.
point. And I mean, it may work. It may work for it, but the process to get to that point, like to get to Secret Wars, it's going to take time, and it's going to be a little bit painful. Getting to infinity, getting to the end of the Infinity Saga, whenever you looked at it from Iron Man 1, like it looked pretty dismal a little bit beginning there. Like there were some movies like Iron Man 3, Thor 2, like they weren't very good. They were just fodder. They were just like but you needed those to set up plot points to get to Infinity Wars and get to Endgame. And so I think a lot of phase four is setting up plot points. And I think, shows like, there were other shows like Hawkeye. I was not a very big fan of Hawkeye, the show.
Boo.
Yeah, I know you loved Hawkeye, but I was not a very big fan. But, shows like Loki, shows like I think WandaVision kind of started to set up the multiverse, and they were necessary. They were necessary to kind of start establishing where we're heading as far as this multiversal saga. But yeah, I do think that they are spread a little bit thin. I do think that they're putting out stuff just to put out stuff. Like I think, Miss Marvel, it may be necessary for the Marvel, the Marvel's movie. But in the grand scheme of things of the MCU, I don't think the Miss Marvel show was necessarily needed,
See, I disagree with them spreading themselves too thin. I just think that they need to have more time because the real issue with all of these shows is that, it's build up, build up, build up, build up, build up. And then it's like, you don't have time to tie up all these loose threads at the end. It's like they don't have enough room to breathe. They need more episodes. They're trying to like make it a mini series and make it six episodes when really, they could make it 8 or 10 and I mean, nobody's going to complain about it. It's not like, I don't know that they want to have these weird gaps like in between, I guess, to build hype. But, I mean, if it sacrifices the product, then yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Now, that
And
being
then he's
said,
got like everything in face. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
no, go ahead. You started.
No, I'm just, I can't, my mind is going 1,000 miles a minute. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, that being said, like I've not sat and watched any of the shows on Disney Plus for Marvel and been like, this isn't good. Like, I'm not having fun. Like, I've enjoyed the time that I've had in the Disney Plus shows, whether they're more connected or not with the wider MCU universe. The only issue that I really have is, like I said, they don't give enough time to tie up all the loose threads in the story. And, that leaves a sour taste in people's mouth, than a lot of other people's mouths than mine. Like, I just kind of like, I would have liked for this to happen, but I enjoyed it for what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my only gripe with it. But go ahead, Chelsea.
Well, what I was gonna say made no sense in regards to what
Okay.
you were gonna say because, but sidebar from that, from whatever I was gonna say, Miss Marvel alone had so many plot holes. Like, still sometimes when I'm just sitting here, I'm like, I didn't understand a single second of that show. And maybe I need to rewatch it, but like, so it was so bad, so many plot holes. And then you expect me to want to watch a movie with Captain Marvel and her and Maria. I mean, Maria Rambeau is kind of interesting. She's slightly intriguing, but like, then you expect me to want to watch a movie with two characters that were developed terribly, like so bad. No,
I
thank you.
disagree that Kamala was developed terribly, but that's another conversation for another
Ooh.
time. We've already gone almost an hour and a half on this podcast.
Is so bad.
I guess just kind of wrapping up so we can kind of wrap up on a happy note. Let's just talk about our favorite projects that were announced or our favorite things that happened at D23, the Marvel's panel, and we can close out on that note. Me and Chelsea kind of going back and forth for a little bit here, Alex. So we'll go to you to start us off, man. What are you most looking forward to that was announced at D23's Marvel panel?
I mean, Thunderbolt. I mean, just having official confirmation that number one, the lineup. Did we get confirmation that it was a movie or was it going to be a show
No, it's
or
a
that they still
movie.
don't know yet? It's a
Yeah,
movie.
it's a
Yeah.
movie.
So just official confirmation that it's a movie. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do with that. Like, I think, I think She-Hulk is going to tie into that big time. I think the leader is going to, the leader from the 2008 Hulk movie. I think he's going to make an appearance in this and kind of, be a factor. And I do think what the leader wasn't he scheduled to be on in Captain America, New World
Yeah,
Order?
he's gonna be in New
Yeah.
World Order.
So I think he's going to be something moving forward within the MCU. But yeah, I'm just excited, man. I'm excited to see what they do with that, because I tell you what, about the only successful thing consistently that DC has done is
Suicide
Suicide
Squad.
Squad. Exactly. Yeah. So, the ability to take just some anti-hero badass characters and kind of put them all together and watch the comedy kind of flow out from that and watch the chemistry flow out from that. I think that's something that can really happen, in Marvel. And look, they basically said that the Avengers are no more, which is understandable. They've been through a lot and they're a fractured group right now. So why not have this, clique of misfits just come together and be like the new Dark Avengers or the Thunderbolts and just have some fun with a group movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun movie for sure. And like, a lot of those characters are more, I guess, playful in terms of like Red Guardian, Yelena. Like, we've seen her serious, but she was also like very playful in
She's
the Hawkeye show.
hilarious.
Yeah, like Yelena's like a fan favorite. Like, she's the MVP of the cast, obviously, and she's the leader of the Thunderbolts, as she should be.
See,
And
like,
having Bucky in there is gonna be fun
she's
too.
like the correct way to give like a female like leading character that like portrays confidence in all the things that so many of their other female characters just feel like cringy for trying to do, like it's not forced.
Yeah, and then we also got Ghost and Taskmaster, so the girl power continues. I'm looking forward to seeing more Ghost.
Taskmaster can jump off a bridge.
Well, it'd probably survive because of the armor, but
Yeah, because it's stupid and weird.
we've seen a history of Marvel retroactively trying to admit they've done wrong and work with what they've got the best way they possibly can. So I look forward to seeing how they try to, what is it? Not retrofit, not retrograde. Man, words are
Invent
escaping me. No, it's.
Mercury, Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I look forward to seeing how they, can kind of play with that and change it and, while acknowledging that, it was a huge swing and a miss, but also, like, move the character forward. So that'll be fun. And then John Walker, like, say what you want about Falcon Winter Soldier show. Say what you want about John Walker and his character portrayal. Wyatt Russell acted his butt off in that show. And I'm excited to see him on the big screen and, see how his character develops going forward. So I'm with you, man. Thunderbolts can be fun. Zemo wasn't confirmed, but I mean, there's it wouldn't
Rumors.
be Thunderbolts without Zemo. So I think Zemo's gonna be there. I wouldn't be shocked if Abomination is there and they just don't want to, leak anything that's coming out towards the end of She-Hulk. And who knows, man? We might have a few other characters pop in there. So it's going to be a lot of fun for sure. Chelsea, let's go to you. What are you most looking forward to that was announced at the D23 Marvel panel?
Well, I was going to say the same thing, but only because I'm shipping Bucky and Yelena hard.
What's their
Because
name?
they're a
Yucky?
thing in the comics.
Is their couple name Yucky?
Maybe just not that.
Maybe Belena.
Maybe not that either. Sounds like baloney.
Okay, so this is that's the thing you're most looking forward to? Okay.
Baloney,
I mean,
yes.
because everything else was just whatever.
Okay.
I mean, hey, so Werewolf by Night, like, I'm not entirely too big on that, but the only reason I am is because I want to win that fantasy football Marvel thing that we did a
Yeah, the
couple
fantasy
months
Marvel
ago.
pool. I think the fence is in on that, man. I've got Wong. Wong, it's this is safe
Oh,
Wong, so
crap. Yeah.
I don't know enough about Werewolf by Midnight, but
Werewolf by Night.
whatever. I don't know enough about it, obviously, to be excited.
I want to see Man-Thing.
Yeah, I'm excited
That's
for
it.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure.
I honestly can't
And
even
then
remember much else.
Chelsea Jenny from Outlanders in that.
Yeah.
She's playing Elsa Bloodstone, as we
That's
saw
kind of
on IMDb. So
interesting.
that's cool because Elsa Bloodstone's obviously like a
I don't
hero
really
in
know
most
what
of the
she
titles.
does, though.
Well, we'll find out.
Doesn't she like open portals?
No.
Something like that. Okay.
I shouldn't speak unequivocally. In the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game, when I last saw her, she had a huge shotgun and she also had like mystical powers. But I don't think she opened portals, but
Yeah, well, mystical powers means whatever you want it to mean in the Marvel universe these days,
very
so.
true, very true.
All right. A couple things that I'm looking forward to. Captain America New World Order. Obviously Anthony Mackie is returning as Captain America. Joaquin Torres, our guy Danny Ramirez, I think is his name. We just saw him in a movie called Look Both Ways on Netflix, and like he was awesome. And I really enjoyed him in his time of Falcon Winter Soldier, so I'm excited to see him as Falcon. Isaiah
Yeah, he
Bradley
was the
coming
best part of
back.
the show.
Isaiah Bradley has been cast and coming back, so I'm excited for that. Obviously, the leader is going to be in this
Do you think
show
they're gonna
or in this
do
movie.
his grandson?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw that there was an interview with him and where he said that, he doesn't know of any future plans, but we just saw Andrew Garfield go on a press tour lying to everybody's face. So I don't trust
He's a
anything
bad
anybody
liar.
these guys say. So and then of course in Captain America New World Order, the thing that I'm most excited about it is they said it's a
Paranoid.
paranoid thriller.
Yeah.
And like that just immediately made me think about the Winter Soldier. And I'm not saying it's gonna be the Winter Soldier, because Winter Soldier for its dollar is like one of the best movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But just another movie in that vein, I really look forward to seeing that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bucky hop up in it. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of other people hop up in it.
I wonder if Secret Invasion bleeds into Captain America New World Order, because Secret Invasion, that trailer, it looked like a paranoid thriller. Like, basically, Nick Fury is basically saying, "Hey, do you trust your security de detail to Rhodey?" Probably saying that, it probably has been infiltrated by Skrulls and things like that. So, that could easily shift over to, Captain America and kind of like the paranoid part of that.
And the other thing that I am like really excited for, and I've enjoyed the Ant-Man movies like more than most people have, just because like I have so much fun in those movies.
Only because of Michael Peña.
Not only because Paul Rudd is an icon
Yeah, he's a
as the
treasure.
Joker. And no. I'll say that in this. One of the reasons I'm excited about Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is Jimmy Woo is coming
Yes,
back.
coming back.
Randall Park, Jimmy Woo, famously, the other Jim Halpert, is gonna be back in this movie. So very excited to see him. Dude's an icon. I think I might have actually drafted him in that Fantasy Marvel draft. Not sure, but yeah, there was another look at this movie at D23, and just everything we're hearing about Kang. He said to Ant-Man, he's like, "Have I killed you before?" It gets blurry after a while. Like the dude is
He's gonna be
stone.
so badass.
It's amazing. And a plot detail was revealed in this clip that we hadn't known previously, that Kang has reached out to Ant-Man
It's
and
a
is,
heist.
yeah, like he was like, "Something was taken from me and I need you to get it back." And as Van Lathan so eloquently put it in the Ringverse podcast, like this is a guy that could go to any point in time on a whim and like is all powerful, has lived like a millennia, and there's something that he can't do that he needs Scott Lang to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. And obviously time heist again, like that was such a fun time in Avengers Endgame. And all the little like heists that Scott Lang pulls off is a good time. Just getting in that dude's mind is a good time. But yeah, I mean, between Scott Lang, Jimmy Woo coming back, Kang, the cast saying like basically, yeah, this is one you need to watch. Like basically throwing shade at one and two, like it was kind of inconsequential to the larger MCU. But like this, they said this one directly leads into Avengers Kang Dynasty. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this movie.
I agree. I agree 100%.
But yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of disappointment Saturday, but there's still a lot of things to be excited for, and I think there's going to be some surprises in terms of us enjoying some of these things more than we think we will. So definitely looking forward to it. It's a great time to be a nerd. It's a great time to be a geek. Great time to be a dork. There's just so much stuff going on. Like Chelsea was saying, fall TV is coming back. I know we talked about Chicago in a podcast. Alex, Chicago's coming back on the 21st. It's good times, man. So with that being said, I hope everybody has a great night. Wow. I'm getting ahead
Wow.
of myself. Sorry. Man, it's like
What's
I
wrong
am
with you?
tired. I'm tired. Leave me alone. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. If you did, subscribe. I'll leave a 5-star rating, positive review. Be a friend, tell a friend if you've enjoyed it. That way we can kind of spread the word on this. Follow us on Twitter at topic_fandom. And on behalf of myself, Chelsea, and Alex, hope you guys have a great night. And as always, Alex is going to make me cringe.
Nerd up, baby. Nerd up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Fandom Podcast, part of the Beleave Network. Our podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Find our podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and positive review, and spread the word if you enjoyed it while we try to grow this thing. Until then, nerd up and geek out.